Hey, I'm your host, Dr. Desiree Cassell. I'm an orthopedic and pelvic floor physical therapist specializing in women's health, aka pelvic floor. I'm a wife, mom of three, foodie, lover of all things movement and nature, and I'm super passionate about educating, empowering, and supporting other women like you to find and maintain balance throughout all aspects of their lives without pain, pressure, or peeing their pants. And this is the Balanced Momtality Podcast, where we will talk about all things pelvic floor, your core, and optimizing your pregnancy, birth, and postpartum recovery, providing you with the knowledge and tools so that you can feel like the strong, playful, and happy mom that you and your family deserve. Now let's get you out of those pads and back to loving movement. Fill up your water, pop in those AirPods, roll out your mat, and let's connect. Before we start today's episode, just a quick disclaimer that anything mentioned in this podcast is not meant to treat or diagnose any medical conditions. If you have any questions or concerns about your healthcare needs, please seek the care of your medical provider. This is also a safe space where we will be talking about very sensitive but important topics, such as issues with peeing and pooping, relationships, and even sex. So if you have littles around, probably a good idea to pop those AirPods in. But otherwise, I hope you enjoy today's episode. Hey mama, it is finally time to dive into the final and third trimester in our prenatal fitness series. So if you haven't catched those other episodes, go check them out, especially if you're still early on in pregnancy. That first and second trimester episode is already out, and today we are diving into that third trimester where we will be discussing how to really help prepare your body for birth. Yes, we want to keep you comfortable and active through those last 3 months when you're drastically growing and you're getting increasingly uncomfortable and tired, and we'll give you all the tools for that, but also how can we optimize your mind and body so that you have that optimal birthing experience and have a better recovery because you did prepare. So that's what we're diving into today. This talk ended up being a little long, so I'm breaking it up into two parts. So stay tuned for today and next week. But I did want to give a little bit of a update on my own journey. If you have been following along with my pelvic venous disorder journey or pelvic congestion syndrome journey, I have had kind of a roller coaster with this the last couple months. If you've been paying attention and listening, and if you follow me on Instagram and social media, you've probably already know these updates, but I just wanted to put it in here for those of you who have been following along and aren't on social media. I did end up getting my embolization. So I had some ups and downs there for a couple days with insurance that I was fighting to try and find medical necessity for why I ended up needing my embolization. But I'm so thankful for my doctors because he really fought for me and fought the insurance and ultimately got it approved. So I did get my embolization. I didn't get it on Tuesday like I was originally planned on the 19th, but I did end up getting it that Friday. He was able to do both sides in one session. So thankfully I do not need to go back as long as this one was successful. Now with this type of procedure, it is something that sometimes people need to go in another two or three times, because what this essentially does is it shuts off circulation to damaged vessels. And so that inevitably puts more pressure on other vessels. And so if there are other damaged vessels that weren't treated that then become symptomatic, we might need to go back in and treat those vessels. However, I'm pretty hopeful that my doctor did an amazing job and got the vessels that he needed to get. It was really a kind of crazy experience. You know, I was laying there consciously sedated, so I was awake but pretty out of it. But I do remember, you know, majority of it, they did go in through my neck, through my jugular vein. So that was probably the most uncomfortable piece for me, was just lying there in the same position for 2.5 hours with my head turned to the left while they shuffled coils down my neck. I could literally hear them threading these coils into my neck, which was kind of crazy. And sometimes I felt them down in my pelvis. But overall, the procedure itself wasn't that uncomfortable. And even that day, I was surprisingly fine. Like, I went and ate afterwards. I was walking around. I was just kind of tired. But I think it was mostly all the meds I was on because the next day my body was definitely super wiped, super crampy, felt like cramps from hell. But unfortunately, I also was pretty fevery and achy. My joints really hurt. And I ended up getting post-embolization syndrome, which is essentially just a big inflammatory response that my body had to all of these metal coils. I ended up having 30 metal coils placed in my body, so I'm not surprised my body was like, what the heck happened here? And also, you know, those coils did shut off damaged vessels, and so then those damaged vessels end up becoming necrotic tissue and die. So the body's also processing all of that necrotic tissue. And apparently, as I'm learning more about this, post-embolization syndrome happens in about 20% of people that go through this condition. And so, yeah, it was definitely something I was not anticipating during my rehab. I wasn't anticipating feeling sick for sure. So that was the worst part. I was just laying around for the first few days, just really, really wiped out and not feeling good and super crampy. And that has eased up. I still feel crampy. I've been at work now for 4 hours today and I'm starting to feel a little crampy, but it's not too bad. It's pretty mellow cramps. And overall, I am pretty hopeful. With this inflammatory response, I do have to give my body a little bit longer to recover than I was planning, which is kind of a bummer. And I just have to remember to take it easy, which is much easier said than done when you've got a business and 3 kids. Anyways, it's been a journey, but I am hopeful because I already, even though I'm feeling a little crampy, and which inevitably makes me feel a little bloated, I'm also feeling a lot lighter. Like, my pelvis actually feels less bloated overall. And I lost about 10 pounds after this procedure, which is kind of crazy. I think that a good 5 pounds of that is probably just because I wasn't eating very much the first few days. But there's definitely some lightness to my body. I feel like, wait, this is how everybody's pelvis is supposed to feel? Like, I don't feel this just heaviness constantly that I didn't think I realized how much that was just constantly there. So I'm definitely eager and excited to see how my body feels ultimately once all of this cramping has gone away and my inflammatory syndrome is gone. So I will keep you updated, but I did just want to put a little blurb in here for those who have been following along. I did end up getting the procedure and I am doing pretty good here about a week and a half out. So we will just keep you updated on that and my recovery. But if you want more day-to-day updates, go follow me on Instagram. That's where I'm posting most of my recovery in my stories. But again, today we are diving into the third trimester. For those of you mamas who are getting close or just trying to prep and get ready for that big day, the third trimester is really a time where so much growth is happening, right? Like, baby is drastically growing, your belly is drastically growing, which changes so much of how your posture is, where your center of mass is, and where the aches and pains show up, how well you can get up and down from a chair, get out of bed. Everything's probably starting to feel a little bit more uncomfortable. You're starting to probably also realize that, oh, that walk that I did the other day that used to be fine is now making me feel exhausted, or now my pelvis hurts. And so we can start to see a lot of these changes through the second trimester, but definitely in the third trimester. And hopefully you have been, through your second trimester, staying active and doing a lot of strengthening work. And if you're unsure how to do that or what to focus on, please go back and listen to the second trimester episode where I go in a lot more into the strength training aspect. And that piece goes through all pregnancy, but I put that in the second trimester because that is really where we want to up our strength training game. And we want to get really confident in what it should feel like in our body, what our core should feel like when we're engaging. And this goes all through third trimester and beyond in postpartum. All of it is still applicable. We still want to listen to those boundaries of our body. We still want to make sure that we are strength training and that we're functionally training and that we're engaging our core appropriately, all of those pieces. So just because today I'm not focusing a lot on strength training doesn't mean that in the third trimester, you're not focusing on strength training. You still are. But in this episode, I want to highlight some of the differences and things that we want to start shifting our attention to now that you're in that third trimester. So while you're still probably and hopefully getting in some strength training 3 to 5 times a week, you're getting in some breath work and mobility work daily, if not every other day, we now do want to put a little bit more emphasis on that mobility and breath work. And now we also want to add in some tissue release. So a few things here. First thing that we want to really start working on as we get into that third trimester, this is where we need to start paying attention to our breath work that you've been doing so well through the first and second trimester. And now you hopefully have a good hang on what it should feel like when you're inhaling and exhaling, when you're engaging your brace and you're picking up a heavy car seat or any weights or laundry basket. How is your core engaging? How is your breath moving through that? Hopefully you are exhaling and engaging that core system on effort. This is all still really helpful and beneficial. However, in this third trimester, we now have to shift our breath work a little bit. Now, when we think about the breath work that I laid out more in that first trimester, where we're thinking of that core system and that balloon, right? So if we visualize that balloon system, as we inhale and we use our diaphragm to inhale, that pressure is going down, which is lengthening and opening, should be, the pelvic floor. And then on that exhale, it should kind of recoil back up, especially if we are picking up something heavy. We want to engage that core, which is the pelvic floor, right? So as we go to pick up that heavy laundry basket or groceries or baby or whatever it is, we are prepping that core system by engaging our brace. We're inhaling as we bend over to pick it up or sit down or squat down to pick it up. And then you're exhaling, giving a nice engagement to that core system on that moment of effort. However, when we are delivering a baby, especially vaginally, right? So we're not talking C-section birth here. We are talking vaginal delivery. When we inhale, that's opening everything up. That's great. We want baby to come down. We need to make room. We got to get out of the way. Pelvic floor needs to get out of the way. So this muscle is not helping you push baby out when you contract it. When you contract that pelvic floor, you are closing the gate for baby. So we need to really tap into what that inhale feels like. What does it really feel like to lengthen and open that pelvic bowl? But now we have to make sure that on the exhale, we have enough control that as we exhale our breath, our pelvic floor isn't tightening up anymore. So we need to be able to disconnect these pieces now. So hopefully you had enough practice coordinating them together, because now we need to be able to break it apart. This is a great time to practice this is when you're pooping. So when you're having a bowel movement, right, as we inhale, everything should open. And as we exhale, we don't want things to tighten and close everything off and keep poop from coming out, just like we don't want it to keep baby from coming out. So we want to inhale, relax, and visualize that pelvic bowl opening. And then you're going to exhale, keeping that pelvic floor lengthened and relaxed and open so that things can continue to come down. And this is also how you're going to kind of practice pushing, okay? Because while you might be trained and instructed, especially in a hospital setting, to do a very typical what we call purple pushing breath, where you're bearing down, you're closing your mouth, you're really like giving it all you got, your doctors and providers are probably even going to tell you to do that because it is going to help push baby down. But what this is also going to do is really, really, really increase your risk for tearing and it's going to increase your risk of baby getting stuck. Because again, if you're bearing down and tightening and engaging, the pelvic floor might actually be tightening up against you instead of opening and getting out of the way. But even if it is opening and getting out of the way, if you're purple pushing and really bearing down into that system, you can really increase your risk for prolapse, where that bladder and uterus are just now permanently dropped at a different level. This becomes very, very uncomfortable postpartum, and it just gets harder and harder as we age because gravity is not on our side, and there's only so much strengthening that we can do to help tighten up those or that organ position. So we want to avoid prolapse like the plague. We do not want extra pressure down on the pelvic floor. But you also can get pretty excessive tearing when you're pushing like this. And this can also put strain on the baby because you're putting pressure down on baby. So the best thing you can do is just really connect with your body and know what it feels like to get out of the way and open up. And if you are unsure, then schedule a visit with me. We need to make sure that you know what that pelvic bowl feels like and what it should feel like to open and relax. But you can also get creative and curious and explore your own body. Just placing your hand over the vulva and perineal space, you should feel a pressure change. On that inhale, you should feel pressure expand into your hand. And then on that exhale, you're going to try and hold that and not keep it from retracting back up in your body. You can also use a handheld mirror. This is great visualization for the brain to really help connect with, oh, I need to really just disconnect from this space and open it up. So whatever cues you can give yourself to really connect with that breath, and this is something I would be practicing in a lot of different birthing positions. So if you aren't sure of birthing position options, definitely research. There are so many different positions out there. So I'm not going to give you a rundown on all of them. So just research them, because it is helpful to know what your options are. And knowing the one thing about birthing positions that I would really kind of take into account is that we want to use gravity. Gravity is helpful. So lying on our back in that position that we usually get told to birth in and that we can usually all visualize when we think of delivering a baby, lying on your back, even if you're elevated a little bit, one, gravity isn't really helping you here. But also what that position is doing is it's pinning your pelvis, specifically your sacrum. And that sacral bone needs to be able to open 20 to 25 degrees to make room for baby to come through. And if you're pinning it by laying on your back, then you're now limiting the amount of opening and space that baby's going to have. And this is going to put a lot more pressure on your tissues, which is again going to increase your risk of tearing and going to increase your chance of baby having a hard time coming through that birth canal. And so what we want to do is we want to practice this breath work in all these different birthing positions, because your body needs to be able to connect with that position and how do I open things up. The hips really change the tone in the pelvic floor depending on what position your hips are in, which is why this can be so helpful to practice, because you might notice some positions feel pretty easy to lengthen and open, and other positions are actually pretty challenging because there's more tension in your hips. And if that's the case, then those are actually the positions that you probably want to practice doing the breath work in the most, because that is telling you where you have some restrictions in your body. And that hip position is crucial because we do have a pelvic floor muscle that is a hip muscle, our obturator internus, to be more specific and nerdy. And this muscle externally rotates your hip. So it brings those knees wide and open. And what this actually does is it actually narrows the outlet of the pelvic opening. So what we want during birth, and specifically during pushing in that transition phase, we want to open that outlet. And so it can seem kind of counterintuitive, but we're actually going to turn our knees in a little bit and get some internal rotation of our knees. So your feet are actually sticking out wider than your knees are. And this is going to open that pelvic outlet. I really encourage you to just place your hands on your sit bones. Get on your hands and knees. Put a hand on your sit bones and play around with the foot. bring the foot in, bring the foot out. This is going to change the alignment of your hip, and you'll probably feel that sit bone open and close and get closer to your rectum or further apart. And that feedback is so helpful in just you understanding how your body is showing up. Now, so again, those hip positions can really affect what the pelvis is doing. And so if we think about knees wide, that does close the outlet, but what it also does is opens the inlet. And so this is super helpful during this third trimester while we're trying to wedge baby down. We want baby to engage into that pelvic bowl. So to do that, we need to open the inlet. And for that, we do want our knees wide. And so taking advantage of positions during your mobility work and your breath work, and even during your strength exercises that have your knees open and wide, is so helpful. So like a wide sumo squat, or if you're sitting in a deep squat for your breath work, or you're sitting on your birthing ball with your knees wide and you're just lunging side to side, rocking side to side, bouncing with your knees wide, we want to help that pelvic bowl open and relax. And so anything on a birthing ball is so great. I feel like gentle bouncing is great. Rocking side to side is great. Doing some pelvic circles and pelvic tilts on the ball is really helpful. All of this helps keep the hip muscles and ligaments in the pelvis nice and relaxed so that the pelvis can shift and open, and so that baby can drop into that pelvic bowl. So taking advantage of some of those positions, again, sumo squats, deep squats, you can do this supported on a yoga block. It doesn't have to be you just like hanging there uncomfortable. You can sit on the yoga block, child's pose with your knees wide. These are all helpful during that third trimester where we want to get baby to drop down. But we also do want to make sure that those muscles that help bring us into internal rotation aren't super tight, because during birth we need there to be space with that position of our hips. So it's still super helpful to practice both exercises and breathwork and mobility positions with knees wide, but then also with your knees in and feet out. And so one of my favorite ones for this is on your hands and knees when you're doing like cat-cow and you're doing some of that gentle spinal mobility and breath work. Pop your feet out a little bit. This is going to bring those hips into more of an internal rotated position. And now, as you are, instead of just sitting right back into child's pose here, I want you to rock back over those feet just a little bit and really breathe into those sit bones and into your tailbone and feel that opening of the outlet. You're going to inhale as you lean back and rock back over those heels. Then you're going to exhale as you rock back onto your hands and knees. You're not rocking back all the way sitting onto your heels like child's pose. That's not going to be very comfortable in this position. You're just rocking back a little, feeling a nice, gentle opening stretch of the pelvic floor on that inhale. Exhaling, rocking forward. Another great position to help get a little bit of both hip mobilizations in is side sitting or 90-90 sitting, where basically you're sitting with your legs all swung to one side. So that's going to put one hip in external rotation and one hip in internal rotation. And then you want to feel, can you get both of your sit bones on the floor? And if not, you have some tension in that hip and you want to kind of sit into it and breathe into it. But then you want to switch that alignment and see, is it equal on the other side? Are you just as stiff in the other hip in that position, or maybe not? So this is giving you feedback on that asymmetry and tension in your hips, which again really affects baby coming through that birth canal. So we want to start taking advantage of some of these pelvic openers, these positions that really open the pelvic inlet and the pelvic outlet. Can we get the pelvis moving and opening equally and symmetrically? And so if you're having round ligament pain, pubic bone pain, SI joint pain, sciatica, tailbone pain, any of those really obvious pelvic pains, you might have some stiffness in that pelvic girdle and it's probably having a hard time opening symmetrically, and it would be helpful to come see me and get a session in with me so we can see what's going on there, or just find a pelvic PT near you. But I do coaching through virtual sessions. Anyways, I hope this was super helpful for you. Come over to the Balanced Momtality Wellness and Support Group if you have any questions, or just let me know what big take-homes you had from this episode. I always love hearing from you guys. And if you haven't already, please like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review so that other women can see this information. And I will see you here next week on the Balanced Momtality Podcast.
Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day. I know you've got so many other important things going on, but I hope it was helpful and you leave here with some tools to help you in your healing journey. And I just want to ask you, if you have found this helpful, to please leave a review on iTunes. Scroll down to the bottom of my podcast page and leave that 5-star review so it can help other women see this information. And also, if you want to be a part of my community of amazing women trying to balance all the things, great tips and insight and sharing stories and just motivating each other along the way, feel free to join my Facebook group, The Balanced Momtality Wellness and Support. I hope to see you here next time on the Balanced Momtality Podcast.